بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Every individual feels honored on account of the blessings of Islam. For Islam there is namaz in the life, there is honesty in life, there is kindness in life, there is generosity in life. All this stems from Iman, stems from Deen. Very seldom do we take out the time to understand what Deen stands for. So Deen stands for Diyanat. The root word is Diyanat. And Diyanat generally is translated as honesty. So honest to everybody, to yourself, to your people, to friends, to the household, but we are honest. So this Deen stands for honesty. So if there is no honesty, really there is no Deen. Normally, they talk of urfi khush akhlaqi, just a visible, apparent good manners. So they say this visible, apparent good manners is very dangerous, because it's just something apparent, it's not real, it's not something that you are taking to heart, it's not something that you are sincere about. So the akhlaq and good character requires that the good that is coming out is absolutely pure, undiluted, not mixed up, not contaminated. Hence, when you are making musafa, shaking hands, then what you are alluding, I made everything naaf, therefore I'm shaking your hands. But I like you for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, and hence everything is maaf. Whatever happened in the past, all is maafed. By the same token, when you are making mu'anaka, and you're embracing the person, you're hugging the person, what you are saying him, what you are alluding that my heart is also clean, because the hearts are touching. Hands are touching, that means everything that is done with the hands, all is maafed. With the limbs, organs, everything was maafed. But when the hearts are touching, then what message you are giving? The message you are giving is that my heart is clean. Everything is forgotten, my heart is clean for you. Now, this is Deen, this is called Diyanat, that honesty that comes, emanates from the bottom of the heart. So, be it in your personal life, be it in the public life, be it in the social life or domestic life, this concept of honesty, it has to be re-understood, it has to be revived and understood. Rasulullah SAW had seen a person selling some product, perhaps wheat or something. So the surface seemed all right, dry, but when he thrust his hand into it, he found it moist. So he said, "What is this?" He said, "No, it rained last night and it became moist." So the one that was moist I put inside, and the dry one I left it on the outside. So Rabbi Sam didn't like this, and he said, "Man ghashana faleesa minna." The one that deceives us, that is not from us. This dishonesty, this is not an Islamic thing. So in every respect, to bring about this element of honesty. Our Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali explained this once. Says, this honesty is not a difficult thing and not a complicated thing to understand, provided the person's mind is right. The planet is easy. But the mind is all upside down, philosophical mind, scientific mind. So for everything you want an explanation. But when the mind is absolutely clean, undiluted, uncontaminated, then you see things directly. So this village is simple, illiterate. He comes to Mustafa Rahmatullah Ali and complains that I've got a younger brother. He's just turned of age, 15, 16. And because my wife had brought him up from infancy, so there is a little bit of an informal relationship, a casual relationship. So I don't think this is the right thing. So Mustafa Rahmatullah's way was to understand what is in the person's mind. So he knows now, all right, this is the problem and how to treat it, how to address it. So just in passing, he asked him, all right, what's wrong? What's your problem then? So in his honesty, he says, Mufti ji, na Mufti ji, malum nahi kab current lag jaye. No, Mustafa, we don't know when that current will just strike. Now the casual, informal, and it is just for a court to strike. And then what goes after that? So even a simple, illiterate person, he can make out that this is honesty and this is dishonesty. But now if you want to complicate the mind, put science and put philosophy, etc. into the equation, then you're just complicating the thing. You're not making it any better. In the incident of the Bani Israel, so they kept on firing questions at Musa alayhi salam. يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا هِي وَإِنَّا إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَمُهْتَدُونَ. So they were just told, by just slaughter one heifer, one cow is enough, and the whole matter will be sorted out. But they kept on asking one question after the other, considering themselves to be very, very advanced, scientific, philosophical, and must know exactly what is going on. Because a heifer and understanding the murderer, we don't see any relationship. We can't understand the logic, the reason behind. So you must know what's the reason. So they kept on firing question after the question. And at the end they said, وَإِنَّا إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ لَمُهْتَدُونَ. So the hadith says that had they not said, Allah Ta'ala willing will be right, then they would have been in such a circle, they wouldn't have been able to come out of it. They'd be just spinning in a circle and not been able to come out of it. But it was their luck that they just said, inshallah. So when I read this tafsir, I thought about the science of this day and of the past. When they bring about the story of evolution and Darwinism, which is up to this day a theory, not yet a fact. And they can't come to an end. They can't show exactly what is the source. So you talk about the world, what is the source? The earth, what is the source? So they just bang one big bang. And they think, no, we have found it. And yet it is just a bang. Just a shot in the dark. It's a bang, that's all. Nothing more than that. So the more they're researching, the more they're getting into the circle, and they can't come out of it. When I read this tafsir, I said, no, it just splits in. Because they're becoming more and more confused because they have removed Allah Ta'ala from the equation. So Allah Ta'ala has made it more and more complicated for them. The simple thing was just humble yourself and come to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala will sort you out. He'll show you the things. But now when you want to say, no, I must do it. I will do it. My scientific knowledge and my... Then Allah will say, I'll give you the run. I'll give you a respite. Let's see how far you can go. Now for years, over 100 years, they're making the research up to Kushwani. I don't know how many 100 years they'll need. When Allah Ta'ala spins you, then you can't just get out of it. Understand that. You just have to be clean and clear with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala will take you. Clean. You don't have to be extremely educated, a rocket scientist or something, but be clean. Be fair. Be honest with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and see how He will deal with you. He'll deal with you so beautifully that it's beyond your description, beyond your imagination, that Allah Ta'ala has seen me well. But all it's required is this. Therefore, it is a noted fact of the mutaqaddimeen, of the pious of the past, like the tabi'een, etc., those that had seen the sahaba. He says, if you will not judge a person just by his lengthy rakats or just by his continuously fasting, that's not the criteria. He's got a lot of rakats he's got, or he's fasting all the time. That's not how we judge this person. But how we really judge the person is how good his mind is, how clean, how pure his mind is, and how good he thinks for people. The welfare, the good, the generosity, what comes out of him, this is how we see the person. So we can see this, the Ansari Sahabi, in one stroke you can see the Ansari Sahabi. There they received the Muhajirin, and Allah speaks in praise of them. تَبَوَّ أُدَّارَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. See the goodness of the mind, the generosity of the heart. Is there sufficient food for him and his wife? Now this is a mehman, and we will go hungry for the night. Let that mehman eat. That guest comes in, let him eat. So we will not only look at his spiritual and dini needs, but we look at his physical, material needs as well. Eating is a material need. So immediately that food that was assigned for them, reserved for them, passing on to the neighbor. And by the morning, Allah reveals the verse, يُسِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً, to be read right till the end of time. They prefer others to themselves. Although poverty may be on their side, they may be in constraints, but yet they still prefer that person. In Yarmouk, someone is in the throes of death, about breathing his last, he needs some water. So his cousin goes to offer him the water. So as he's received the water, and he sees his brother on the other side, he's also groaning. So I'll go and pass the water to him. This man is on the throes of death. He is really parched with thirst. Pass it to him. When he comes back to his brother, brother is gone already. So even at that time, preferring others. Now the life has come such now that I will look for my own needs, my own comfort, my holidays, my comfort, my enjoyment, my traveling. I look at it first. Others will sort them out in time. And that never comes. Yeah, it is no. Let me enjoy, let him enjoy. I got this, let him enjoy. He doesn't have the proper finances for a good treatment, like what you see nowadays, right? He doesn't have it. Let me finance it. I got it. Rather than going for a holiday, spending 100,000 on that, let me spend 100,000 on this. And if we do this thing for the person, and we'll sing a song for the next 10 years, you know, man was on the street, we sorted him out. So where's the sawab then? ثُمَّ لَا يُتْبِعُونَ مَا أَنْفَقُوا مَنَّ وَلَا أَذَى. That charity is acceptable when you don't hurt the person and you don't follow it by reminders of your generosity. Alright, you did that act of generosity, but you must go and remind, you know, this is what I did. Otherwise the man was in constraints. We sorted him out. Where he was? See, this Islamic etiquette, really, we haven't understood this. The truth, the purity, uncontaminated akhlaq of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alamgir Aurangzeb was about the last successful rulers of India. Alamgir Aurangzeb rahmatullahi alayhi. After him is known the kitab Fatawa Alamgiri. That's over 250-300 years, but it's running very well. So well that every Darulu must have this kitab here as a reference book. Every madrasa has it. So he's in war with an enemy. A non-Muslim is in war with him. And the enemy consults his mother. You know, the army, it marches on its stomach. You see them well, they'll work. But you don't see them well, they can't march, they can't work. Now the army marches on the stomach. And all the provisions I had, all is all replete, all finished, depleted, khalas. Now how the army must continue? So he's asking his mother, what should I do? Ma, in this halat mein kya kar, what should I do? So the mother says, alright, you consult with Alamgir rahmatullahi. That's the opposition, that's your enemy. Ma, but that's an opposition, it's an enemy. How can I ask him for advice? He's after me, he's after my throat. He wants to crush me down. So no. This man, Alamgir, is a man of deen. And deen talks for honesty. So he'll be honest. If he's going to be consulting him, he's going to be consulted. فَلْيُشِرْ إِلَىٰ مَا هُوَ صَانِعٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. Then the one that is consulted, he must give you that advice, what he thinks is best for himself. What I think best for myself, that is what I need to tell you. See this honesty. I worry in for you, I've got some malice in you, in my heart for you. So I'm not going to show you something. I can show you, all right, this is how you save your money, right? This is the car you need to buy. This is how you save your taxes. But I don't want to show you, I don't want to see you, I don't want to see you prospering. I ask you, is that the goodness of the mind? Goodness of the heart? Hmm? So, the tabi'in, this is how they would look at it. How good the man's heart is, and how good the mind. If the mind is good, that means he's good in himself. The heart is good, he's good for others as well. So I'm enjoying, let my neighbor enjoy. Let the town enjoy. Hmm? Alhamdulillah, in the water crisis, you see, our people, alhamdulillah, they went out of their way. Hmm? Right until Seri, they were going, passing on water, different places. Someone is in a constraint, he's difficult, in difficulties. They're going with boats and pulling them out. It's all, alhamdulillah, with the grace of Allah, all our people that did it. But the goodness, that is called a Muslim, a goodness. At the time of crisis, and are you there to help the person? He needs that water. He needs to be pulled out of his home. He needs his life to be saved, his child, his animal to be saved. But we'll go out, and we don't want any acknowledgement. Is that all we require is Allah Akbar, be happy. يُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُرًا. We're helping, we're offering, we're assisting, whatever. But we don't want any acknowledgement from you. We don't want any acknowledgement. No remuneration, no reward. We're just doing it for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Nothing besides the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So anyway, Alamgir Rahmatullah Alayhi, his opposition, he's about to be crushed, and his supplies have all been exhausted, nothing is got, and the army marches on the stomach. What should be done? So now, as his mother instructed, he signaled that I want peace for a day or 2 days, I need to negotiate. Whichever way they were using at that time, to negotiate, you know, that all right, for a day or 2 days, we just need to stop the war. War is stopped. And he consults with Alamgir Rahmatullah Alayhi, that, you know, I am in a constraint, I am in a push, all my provisions have all been exhausted, my people are dying now, and what should I be doing? So Alamgir Rahmatullah Alayhi says, now, look, just imagine for a moment, says, now, you imagine you are at the crunch, you are about to smash the person, and at that time, he's asking for this type of an advice. So Alamgir Rahmatullah says, all right, ask for a truce fire, for a peace treaty. For 10 years also, it's all right. In the 10 years, you can prepare yourself, get provisions, refurbish your whole army, do all that. And come back after 10 years, it's all right, no problem. Now, who can do this? Discard dil sacha, say you. Otherwise, there was a time, you know, I just wipe them out. We're already there at the gate. Just clean them up. You could have done that. But when the heart is good, then primarily what you're looking at is Allah Ta'ala happy. I will do it. I will appease my conscience. I will appease my conscience. This was my enemy. I fixed him up or put him in his place. But when the person's heart is tied up with Allah Ta'ala, then that is not the concern. The concern is Allah Ta'ala happy. Is Allah Ta'ala happy or not? Allah Ta'ala wants me to be honest. He wants me to be fair. That what I would like for myself, I must like for my enemy. He's consulted, he's asked me, he's referred to me, I need to tell him what's the truth. Anyway, Alamgir Rahmatullah Alayhi made this known, made a public announcement that this peace treaty for 10 years. So, the learned amongst them asked, where have you got this 10 years? So, Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam signed the peace treaty at Hudaybiyah for 10 years. So I've got a reference for this as well. It's not that I just took a shot in the dark and I just signed a treaty, no. I signed a treaty and I've got a reference for this. Look at Hudaybiyah, right? The treaty was signed for 10 years. Time is up.